Well, good evening. As Philip said, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here in more of sort of a informal class session than to be standing in front of you preaching. I never say that I'm preaching. I'm not a preacher. But I love talking about God's Word, and I don't mind standing in front of people and doing it. Just flip it over from mute, and we're good, Philip?
Yep.
Okay. So if you remember the last time, I appreciate that prayer very much. Thank you for that. And that song, Norris, I don't know if I could have asked you to pick a better one for what we're going to talk about, the idea of working. When I was last here with you, had the opportunity to stand before you and open God's Word with you, I encouraged you, I hope you haven't forgotten already, to be thankful and to be humble. And let me just tell you, I'm thankful to be with you tonight. I'm thankful that your elders, in their wisdom, decided this would be a good thing for you to be doing. I'm assuming you're not meeting on Wednesday nights during this, and so just on your Thursday night. So I didn't know if you were really going hardcore and having Wednesday night and then a Thursday night series, which would be fine too. But I'm thankful, obviously, to have the opportunity to be up here. And then I'm humbled that for your summer series, you guys would let me take one of those slots. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of folks that would like to be up here and have an opportunity to do this. So I'm thankful that I get a chance to do this. I was going to be with you even after that time because our friend Philip, who seems to always try to dodge me, he goes out of town anytime I come up here. Well, actually, he's out of town. That's the reason I get the opportunity to come up here. But he got an extended visit in Israel that I got to follow a little bit on Facebook. And they kept bringing him these trays of food. And I could not tell for the life of me what it is they were serving him to eat. But it made me think I need maybe to pack food with me the next time I make a trip over to Israel. And then he showed the picture of the pizza he was having. I was like, well, wait a minute, if they've got pizza, I think I'll be okay. But it's good, Philip, for you to be back with the group here as well. Good to get to connect with you again tonight. I do want to sort of, as Philip alluded to, I do want to keep this just sort of very informal and just talk a little bit about, when we talk about equipping ourselves or preparing ourselves for whatever it is that God wants us to be doing in this life, we got to deal with the topic of work, right? We're going to work. There's no way around it. If you're going to be part of the Lord's body, he needs you working. And so while we're not really, this isn't designed to talk about the Lord's work, it really is in virtue of when we talk about our physical or our secular work, it ties right into it, right? A Christian doesn't go, well, I'm going to work so I can put my Christian sort of identity to the side. No, we are Christians no matter what we're doing. And so we need to talk about that tonight, and hopefully we'll do a good job of sort of covering that topic. But let me just, by way of opening it up for some discussion, and it was an interesting trip up here, by the way. Let me just go ahead and get that out of the way, because I know some of you are going, what was he talking about? So I went from Auburn to Columbus. I worked in the office over in Columbus today, and so my plan was to get out early enough. There's a backstory behind that. I wasn't even sure I'm going to be here tonight. There's a family reunion that I was supposed to go to tonight, and then my daughter wound up having some surgery we had forgotten we had scheduled to get the hardware out of her shoulder, which was on Monday, and it was successful, and she's doing well. And then my mother-in-law is dealing with the loss of her dad up in Birmingham. We're making a trip up there this weekend, so it's just been chaotic. Not to mention, I just came off a week of vacation last week, so work's been a little crazy. So I drove up, and I was making that turn from 185 on 85. I knew I needed to get some gas in the truck, and I turned the corner and hit 85 north, and it was an absolute standstill. And I was like, I'm still a few miles away from the closest gas station. And I snapped a photo, and I sent it to Mike and to Philip, and I said, okay, here's the traffic, and here's what my gas gauge says. So we'll see how this goes. And I'd like to say, well, God intervened and let me get to the gas station, but, you know, there could have been some valuable lessons for me to learn from God if I had run out of gas on the side of the road as well, and to be thankful that hopefully somebody stopped or I'm healthy enough to walk to get a tank of gas. It's all your perspective. But that's sort of what led to me sort of getting in here in the last nick of time. But I'm just glad to be with you. But let me open it up for discussion here for a second. When you hear the word work, what do you immediately think of? What does work mean to you?
Stress.
Well, it didn't take long, did it? Nobody's, oh, it's the joy of my life. Yeah, there's stress that goes along with work for sure. What else?
Yeah.
It's your job, right? Work's your job. Yeah, absolutely. They're one and the same. Anybody have a job that's not work? Bobby? Yeah, we call it that, right? If there's something to be said from God's word about if, you know, man's going to eat, you know, he needs to work. He's not going to work, then he's not going to eat. And so, yeah, it's how we make our living. What else? What else about work? And why spend some time talking about it as it relates to this series when we're equipping ourselves.
Responsibility.
That's right. It's a responsibility, right? We need to provide for our family, so we're certainly responsible for that. So work is involved with that. We're going to make a living and provide for them. Then we need to take on that responsibility.
We also
need
to have
take seriously.
To our employer.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about that a little bit, right? Yeah. We're not just to sort of, we'll give it somewhat our best. Yeah. We should be giving it our very best. That's right. We have a responsibility to do that. But what else? Okay, there's preparation that goes into it. Most of us can't just show up to work and go, I don't really think much about being here today, but I'm here. Yeah, so there's preparation that goes into it. Sure. What else?
Laboring, either physical or mental.
Okay, yeah, that's a great point right there. And I've made that transition in my career where there was a point that there was more physical labor required of me. And I'll be honest with you, I miss those days. I miss some physical labor. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know that I'd trade what I'm doing now to be back out in the heat and all the stress that goes with that and going home sore and tired. I'm too old for it now probably. But there's a time when I really enjoyed a good, long, hard day's work and then the rest that would come as a result of it. But now it's more, it's mental. There's a mental effort and that can be, in my estimation, can sometimes be even tougher for you to recover from, for sure. What else do you think of when you think of work? Yeah, that's right. We look at it as, hey, work can give us some exercise, right? Especially depending on the job that you've got, for sure. Why, as we talk about this theme of equipping ourselves, why do you think we spend some time talking about work? What do you think the main reason for that is?
You're there most of the time.
There we go. That's exactly the answer I was looking for. I thought about this, so let me just give you mine, and you can feel free to share yours as well. So and I'm not asking for anybody to feel sorry for me. I got a good paying job and had it for a long time and it pays the bills and then some. I'm definitely blessed. My day, I'm in a different situation than a lot of folks. I live in one state, I work in another. I live in Central Time, work on Eastern Time. In the morning, that's not a really good trade because the alarm goes off at 4:30 and I need to get my feet moving somewhere between 4:30 and 4:45, and I can assure you, on most days, it's 4:45 or 4:46 or 4:47. It's not 4:30 or 4:31. I give myself time to get up, get moving, and by about 5:30, I really need to be moving. It's already 6:30 in Columbus, Georgia, and if I leave then, it puts me getting to work right at about 7:30, which gives me about an hour before the first meeting of the day, sort of get my feet under me, get prepared for what my day is going to hold for me. And then I'm there the entire day. Now, I do get an opportunity to work remotely some, and I love those days. It makes things a lot easier. I can sleep in a little more, and it comes 4 o'clock. It's already 5 o'clock in Columbus. There's a lot of benefit to be had from that as well. But you think about a day that you spend at working, right? And in fact, let me go ahead and deal with this, right? Not everybody in this room is currently employed. Is that fair to say? I'm looking at some of you, and you have reached the what? Oh, doesn't that word sound so sweet when we say it? Retirement. I don't know what that is. I've heard that it's possible and that if you keep going long enough, eventually it can happen for you. I'm still waiting for that to come my way. But yeah, so not everybody's working. But you spend most of your day there, right? So if I stay, I've got up at 4:30, I left at 5:30, I stayed till 5, I come home, the vast majority of my day has been right there. Then I'm home. Let's say I get home with the time change, it helps me. I've left office at 5. It's only 4 in Auburn, so I roll in about 5 o'clock. And let's say I stay up till 10 o'clock. 5 hours of my day is what I have left available to me. You may know how quickly that 5 hours goes. Got all kinds of things to take care of in those 5 hours, right? I got 4 kids. Technically 3 with 1 out of the house, but he's still sucking the life out of us. There's no doubt about that. In a good way. But 5 hours is what I've got to work with, right? So the reason we want to talk about this tonight, equipping ourselves for work, is because we do a lot of it. We spend a lot of our time there. And so when we start thinking about our characteristics, being godly, being the examples, being like Jesus, the vast majority of our time in our adult life, in our career, is likely spent while we're at our employer. That's when we're going to have our opportunity to do our most good or perhaps our most harm for those around us. And so we need to consider that. So tonight, I've sort of broken this down into I'm a who, what, when, why, where kind of guy. That's how I like to think. And so I've sort of done that with a lesson tonight. But I've sort of entitled this Work as a Christian. And so I want to share a few thoughts with you as it relates to that. Let me ask you this. Here's another question for you I'll toss out there. So you know we're going to talk about equipping ourselves for work and being a Christian and how it relates to how we approach work. Anybody got a verse that comes to mind that you think might might pop off my page that I'm going to share with you tonight? Not a trick question. Anybody got one?
I don't know the first, but I always think of the parable of the workers that get hired at the first of the day. Mm-hmm. Get hired at the end of the day, and they all get paid the same.
Yeah.
That always comes to mind when I'm working and I'm getting a bonus or whatever.
Sure.
You know, whatever. I just, you know.
Yeah. I like that.
I've told my employer several times, I don't work for you, I work for the Lord.
There you go. And that's really more closer to the verse I'm looking for, by the way. Not that I'm just looking for a single verse, but that's a verse that I have in mind. I like that example, though, right? Those people that got hired earlier but got paid the same amount the people got hired, they got things all out of whack, didn't they? They agreed to their wages, but then they saw people that didn't have to work quite as hard. They do. We ever have that attitude when we're at work? Hey, that person's not working quite as hard. We get these. Yeah, we can talk about some of that stuff, too. What? Any other verses that jump out at you?
I used to have this committed to memory, but things fade. But in Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need.
Yeah, great verse right there. So that covers a lot of different topics that we don't have time to get into all of those tonight. But yeah, I like that one. Any others come to mind?
Ephesians 6, putting on full armor.
Okay. Yeah, then I think we need to do that when we go into our physical and our secular work. We need to make sure we don't leave that armor at home. In fact, that might be the time when we need it most, when we're around. You know, we've left the comforts of those that love the Lord, hopefully part of our family, that are committed to being faithful to the Lord, to be around a lot of people who aren't. And so we need to recognize there's some influence that they have over us. We need to recognize the influence we can have on them. Any others? I always like to hear sort of what pops into people's heads. Okay, yeah, there's a warning for us there, right? There's a limited amount of time there for you to get the things done that need to get done. So you need to take care of things. I think God's word is replete in encouraging us to be workers. You know, you need to be working. And if you're not, you're not working to provide a living, you're not working to provide for the Lord, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, for sure. Any other verses?
Your work heartily as unto the Lord.
There we go. That's the verse that really jumped out when I first started sitting down and thinking about this. Where's that found?
Can't remember right
off. Somebody got that? There we go. In fact, let's just go ahead. Let's open your Bibles to Colossians. I've done some talking here. Let's look in God's Word here. Colossians chapter 3. I like what it has to say here. And I tell you what, what's my hard stop here? Let me go ahead and tell you this too. I'm hungry. I am. But if you think that's going to let you get off easy, you're probably sadly mistaken. I like my opportunities to talk. Anybody that knows me knows that being hungry won't stop me from talking. Sometimes I'll just take a pause or eat while I'm talking if need be. The lovely Linda Clark has a bag over there that has my name on it, and I could dig into it right now, right in front of you if I had to. But yeah, we're going to be here. What time are we?
7:50, but you just finish when you're done.
Okay, all right, I like the sound of that. That gives me plenty of leeway there for sure. So, all right, well, let's read then I was going to paraphrase, but let's read this. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. Let's read the first 17 verses here. I really like what it has to say. The title here for me, it says, put on the new self, and that's really what we're talking about, is equipping ourselves as it relates to who we are when we go to work. Starting in verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Interesting, those verses can apply to how we conduct ourselves while we're at work, for sure. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And here is the key verse for us in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A lot of times verse 17, we look at that and go, when we're assembled together, that should describe us. That's not what that verse says, right? Let's read that verse again. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So this idea of whatever we do applies to our work. And so you've heard this before. This is nothing new. It's not a new concept. And you said it, right? Who are you working for? Okay. Who pays the bill? I mean, who provides the paycheck? You could say God there too, right? But actually, it's your employer who's responsible for writing that check and making sure it comes out. But we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And we need to be reminded of that. Even though it feels like, hey, this is coming by virtue of the school system or whoever it is that you happen to work for, ultimately, these are gifts of God or gifts from God for us. So we need to be reminded that when we're at work, instead of thinking about pleasing our employer, you know, making good with the boss or whatever, is to think higher than that and think about, would God be pleased with my actions today? Not just my employer, but would God be pleased? In fact, I would argue that if we focus on that, can I be pleasing to God today? Guess what's naturally going to happen? Yeah. Your employer's going to be satisfied with you because you're working heartily. You know, you're not one of those the people that's over there that's the busybody and the gossiping and slacking off and all that kind of stuff, because that's not how you would do it if you were doing it unto the Lord, right? You'd be thinking about, God's my employer. God's got some pretty high standards. He sets pretty high standards about how I am to go about doing my business. Am I doing that each and every day? So that certainly is a verse that stands out to me. And then let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So turn back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We got to confront this verse if we're going to talk about equipping ourselves for work as Christians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we really have to think about, remember who we are working for, right? As I said, while we are working for an employer, we all have a boss. Ultimately, it is God that we are working for. And if we keep that in mind, it will help shape us to be the best employees that we can. Let me ask you this. You ever heard any horror stories? If you were to start your own business, throw out a business. Anybody got a dream, a business they want to start? What you got? Everybody satisfied with the job they have right now and wouldn't do anything else if they could?
We started our business.
Okay. So you started a business recently?
Years and years ago.
Okay. So a business needs what?
Money.
Definitely needs money. What else does it need?
A plan.
Needs a plan. What else does it have to have?
Labor.
Yeah, there we go. We've got to have employees. Most businesses have to have employees, right? So if you were a Christian business owner, who would you want to employ?
Christian.
Huh?
Christian.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't we universally say that's what we should do? Anybody ever heard of a situation where that didn't work out so well for them? And why is that? Why can't we just universally go, hey, I can hire a Christian, I'm good to go. Man, this is going to be the most successful business. I don't have to worry about anything. I can sleep well at night. In fact, I'll just go home and they've got this. What's the problem with that?
Sin comes in the door at the same time.
That's exactly right. Because they might be Christians, but they aren't what?
Perfect.
They aren't perfect. They're going to make mistakes. I'm going to tell you, some of the biggest fusses and arguments and scenes that I have seen are times when a Christian has employed another Christian and things just did not go very well. And it can be to the shame of both parties. It can certainly be to the shame of the Christian not living up to their name, not surrendering themselves into Christ and being who they're supposed to be. It's not that you're perfect, we're not going to make some mistakes or whatever, but you know, we got to live up to the standard that God has set for us, right? So yeah, that's certainly a case for us. We have to see work as an opportunity to be an example to others. I sort of highlighted this earlier. Go to Matthew chapter 5 Let's look at verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. I said this, right? We spend so much time at work. So much time at work. We're around so many people. It's such a great opportunity for us to do so much good as it relates to the work of the kingdom and influencing others. Anybody in here ever worked with somebody and you detected they might have a spiritual interest and you got to have some good spiritual conversations with them? Anybody got a story that led to, not only did that happen, but ultimately I was able to convert them to being a Christian? Anybody got a story like that? I've heard plenty. Just think about it. All these people that were around, if there's ever an opportunity for us to stand out and be who God calls us to be, it's that situation, right? Because when we put on Christ and we act like we're Christians, and when I say act like, I'm not saying we pretend. I mean, we act like we're supposed to act as God's people. Think of the tremendous influence and example that we're providing to those around us, right? People should look at us. They should hold us in high esteem. If there's ever a situation where somebody's like, hey, we really need somebody that we can really depend on, who should emerge out of that crowd? Well, the Christians should, right? We should. And that's not always the case. But I like the notion we got to see work as an opportunity to be an example to others. So Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, we read, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house?" And that's what we have. Let's verse 16. I don't miss that. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works," there's that word works, "and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We have a tremendous opportunity in our places of employment to let our light shine. Anybody listen to Rick and Bubba? Anybody? I'm in the car a lot, so I listen to a lot of stuff. It's interesting, they've got this ongoing sort of dialogue about how society today is a lot different than society was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And do you know what they say a superpower is today? Anybody know? As it relates to work? What sets you head and shoulders above anybody else?
Working.
That's obviously part of it. Do you know what they say? Showing up to work. Showing up to work. I mean, you to rise to the top of the class. If you'll just show up consistently every day for your employer and go to work, you're already skyrocketed to the top because so many people choose and elect not to. I don't know if it's just in Auburn, but what's plastered all over the city of Noonan as it relates to work?
Help wanted.
Yeah, help wanted all over the place. Can somebody please tell me where all the help is? I don't get it. How have we suddenly gone from there's hardly any jobs anywhere to now there's jobs everywhere and they can't find people? People aren't even conducting normal business hours, reducing it because of the size of their staffs and things like that, right? We're in a world where a lot of people don't want to work for anything. They'll go out of their way to not have to work. Man, we go back a few generations. Did you know anybody that didn't could get away with that? Where work not working was an option? Not an option? However you say that. No, people worked. Yeah, I don't know. We've gotten things upside down here for sure. We're this light of the world. We need to be that in our places of employment. How about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12? I like that verse as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Where we read, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." This being an example of those who believe is really powerful stuff. We're an example to others based on our beliefs when we conduct ourselves the way we're supposed to when we're at work. And this speaks to the young people, right? Yeah, this isn't just for the people that have been working for a long time. For the person that walks in as a new hire, I can remember the first time, and I feel like I've been working for, am I the only one that feels like you've been working forever? Because I sure do. But I can remember like my first opportunity to make money is like a lot of folks was. Anybody want to guess what it was? It's before I could drive. That's it. That was the staple, right? You're going to make some money. There's a lawnmower. I didn't pay for. Dad did. That gas, I didn't pay for it either. He did. All I got to do is go put the physical labor in. and people would give me money. Now, my problem was there were a lot of older people that lived around me, and I was way too nice. I didn't have a plan. I didn't prepare, right? I just walked up and said, knocked on the door, can I cut your grass? Well, sure. I go cut it. Show back up. I'm done cutting your grass. They might hand me a couple dollars. I'm like, dude, this is not working out very well. So then I had to develop a strategy that said, well, I need to sort of size up the amount of work I'm doing for the value that I'm providing, you know? And so I finally got my act together and realized I need to sort of let them know I'll do it for this amount of money. And they can say yes or they can say no. They can say, well, I'll do it for, you'll do it for $2 cheaper. I may have to decide I really need that and I'll take $2 cheaper. But yeah, so I feel like I've just been working forever, but I can just remember thinking to myself, looking around and seeing other people who just did not want to work. You know, they just didn't want to. We got so many people. And so here I am as this very young person. I feel like I got it from my dad. My dad, I don't know how he did it, worked for General Motors all these years. The man never used an alarm clock. I have no idea how you can function without using an alarm clock. I can just, by now I've done it long enough, maybe I don't need one. But I can tell you, back when I was 17 years old, no alarm clock, no Jimmy showing up on time for work. There is no doubt about that. Somehow my dad got up every single day. Time to get up, time to go to work. And he worked, came home, did it all over again, over and over and over again. And so from an early age, I recognize there's some value. There's this work ethic is something that's important. It today is a superpower for you. But when you're young, as a young employed person, you have an incredible opportunity to be an influence for those around you, for the older people. People look at you and go, and sometimes you may be ridiculed for it. Hey, man, why don't you take it easy? You're working too hard. You ever been around somebody like that? Hey, dial it back a little bit here. Now, we tell the joke about, does anybody in here work for like the county or anything? I don't want to step on anybody's toes here because there's some jokes about county and city employees, you know, standing around a shovel. You know, we're going to dig a hole and that hole is going to be, it's going to take all week to dig. And if we drag our feet just long enough, maybe we'll get some overtime to finish digging this hole, right? We have an opportunity as young people and older people to set the example for what really a work ethic looks like and being Christians, letting our light shine in that situation. Bobby, you're going to say something, I thought.
Yeah, I think I've built that now, running young people, because they tell them not to work.
Don't take me there, Bobby. I don't. Yeah, don't take me there. I could say amen to that, and that'd be sufficient. There's something really wrong, and I think that's part of it, right? For a long period of time, why aren't people out there looking for jobs? Well, if you get paid not to work, why would you go find a job? Since you took me there, I'm going to take a brief side to it. We got so sideways with this, we decided that we would give people more money than what they would get if they worked their job. So they had to go, okay, wait a minute. I can go back to work and take a pay cut, or I can not work and have this pay raise. I think even as a Christian in that situation, don't we have to size it up and go, is that really what we should be doing here? Is that the right thing for us? And we can get off on a tangent about that too. Anybody, Mike's not here. I was going to use this illustration of him because he and I got a running joke about this. Does anybody want to admit in this audience that at some point in your professional career, you took a sick day that was not a sick day? Thank you. I'll raise my hand. Okay, so this is what we said when we were at work at Delta, right? We'd call in and say, boss, I'm not coming into work. I got an eye problem. I mean, who is going to come to work with an eye problem, right? Now, if they were to ask me, what is your eye problem? The eye problem is I can't see myself coming into work today. If you ever got to that point, guess what? You're coming into work. Because if you don't, there's going to be some problems. But that was our running joke, right? I got an eye problem. That's humorous. But let's think about that, right? I mean, our employer, and I'm not saying there aren't times when, you know what, you need that mental break. And if your employer has said you've got 5 days to take at your discretion and you don't technically have to be sick, well, okay, go to Six Flags. It's your day to use it however you want to. But if you run those 5 days out doing all the Six Flags and everything else and then you get sick, then what do you do, right? But we got to be careful as Christians that we're doing things the right way, that we're not taking advantage of our employers. This is the old transformed versus being conforming, right? I mean, that's with us in every single thing. I don't know what other topics you guys are talking about in this equipping yourselves, but whatever they are, I guarantee you, you have an opportunity to conform to this world or be transformed. And I'm telling you, with work, we've been called to be transformed, to be different, a different animal when it comes to an employee and how we approach going to work each and every day. Let's see what else I have on here. We have to remember what we are working for. So let me ask that. Those of you who are currently working, what are you working for? Working to live. We could talk about working to live versus living to work, right? Anybody in here live to work? There's always got to be somebody. I mean, sometimes I've been a little guilty of that. So most of us are working to live. Does everybody know the difference between that? What's the difference between working to live and living to work?
You're a workaholic. You put more time in than you really should because you have to let other things go that are important.
That's right. Living to work means, man, that's what I live for. But what about all that other stuff? I don't have time for that. Working to live is what? Well, if I want to live and live somewhat decently, then I need to work. Unless the government will pay you not to do it, right? Yeah, so we need to think about that, this idea of what are we working for. So what are you working for? Working to live. What else?
Retirement.
Yeah, man, I hope that comes up, right? Yeah, so we're working so that at some point we don't have to work anymore, right? That's what we're working for. What else are we working for? Okay, I think there's the elements of that, right? Hopefully we're doing something that we can be fulfilled in doing. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands here because my hand will probably pop up at some point during this discussion. Anybody miserable in what they're doing right now? Anybody want to share that they're miserable in what they're doing right now? Is it fair to say that even with Christians you can be miserable in what you're employed in doing? Sure you can, right? Absolutely you can. But does that allow us a break? Oh, I'm miserable, so I'm going to be less of an employee. No, we don't get a break there. In fact, if we're miserable in what we're doing, what should we do? Go somewhere where we're not miserable, right? I'm actually sort of hedging my where I'm at with some of that right now, thinking that I'm working entirely too much for not nearly enough appreciation. Although, as my wife continues, she is, man, faithfully by my side, coming up on 25 years later this month, as a matter of fact, 25 years. How that woman stayed married to me for 25 years, I will never know. She is a saint. There is no doubt about that. But yeah, there's things that we're working for. There's retirement, there's fulfillment, there's all these things, right? There's a song, I was thinking about this on the way up here, it popped into my head as I was sort of going over what I had prepared, since I had plenty of time sitting in traffic about to run out of gas, getting hungrier by the mile. You guys know that song, some of maybe all of you aren't country music singers, and I like all kinds of music, not just country music, but there's a song called, is it By Dirt? Is that what's the song that's out these days? Anybody heard that song? There's a line in that song that talks about, find something that you love to do. Right? Find something you love to do. People tell you sometimes, if you find something that you love to do for work, you'll never work a day in your life. Anybody know what that means? Anybody got that situation? Because talk to me afterwards, right? Because that does not describe my situation. It's not that I hate my job, but I don't love my job and look at it as, oh man, I am so glad I get to do this each and every day. I'm doing it because it does fulfill me. It pays the bills. By the way, when I ask you why you work, not one of you said to pay the bills, which surprises me. Isn't that part of why we work? And maybe making a living fits that or whatever, covers the bills and stuff. Yeah, we go to work. My youngest son, Andy, asked me in time, he goes, Dad, you have to go to work. That's what he said. Dad, you have to go to work. It's like sometimes people say, I have to go to church. I really hate when people say that. I have to go to church. You have to? You want to go to church, I hope, is what you mean by that. You may be telling somebody you can't go do something else because church is involved. Just don't like the way that comes across as I have to go to church. So he asked me, Andy said, do you have to go to work? What do you think I told him? I actually didn't say yes. You know what I said to him? I said, no, sir, I do not have to go to work. And is that true? Absolutely truth in it, right? I do not have to go to work. I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. And it's an official vacation day. I don't have an eye problem. I told him, no, I don't have to go to work. And you know what? The following day, I don't have to go to work either. In fact, the next month, I don't have to go to work. And he's like, well, how do you do that? I was like, I just don't go to work. I just don't show up. I was like, but do you realize there's consequences with me not going to work anymore? And he suddenly realized, oh, that's how this works, right? This is a choice that we make each and every day. We get up and we go to work, not because we have to, but because we have to, I guess is the best way to put it, right? So comments, questions, anything along those lines as we talk about. Yeah, so we have to remember what we are working for. And let me tell you, I love, we didn't look at this, we looked at 1 Timothy 4:12. Look back a couple of verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Let me read it again. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we fixed our hope on the living God. That's why we work. Because we fixed our eyes on the living God, and we realize that He calls us to work and to be faithful in it and to be competent in it. And to excel in it and to do all those things, to do give our very best each and every day that we're there. Now, are we going to have our bad days? You ever have a bad day preaching, Philip? I'm not going to ask the crowd if you ever have a bad day preaching. You think you do, right? You're not always on your game. You're not always the best. Same thing at work. Got all this stuff, stress, this going on in life. I wasn't my best today. Well, it happens to the best of us, right? But for the most part, we should be able to leave every single day. We should be able to go home. Even if the person you work for doesn't recognize it, even the person that you work for doesn't appreciate it, this is where my dear wife comes in. She reminds me all the time, you know who does appreciate it, honey? God does. God sees what you're doing every day. If you don't get a single thank you, a single pat on the back, a single anything from anybody that you work with or work around, and they take you for granted and they abuse you or whatever, our God is faithful to us. He sees what we're doing. He recognizes it. Ultimately, that's where our reward comes from, right? And so this idea of remembering what it is. So we talked about, you know, who we are and when it comes to work. We've talked about seeing work as an opportunity to be an example to others, letting our light shine. We've talked about what we were working for. So I left a section here at the end called et cetera. There's always et cetera, right? So here were the et cetera thoughts. Actually, you know what? There's actually one other verse I want to look at before we go there. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 12. Look at that real quick. I wrote that down on my notes, so there must be a good reason I have it here. Yeah, well, it plays into some of what I was just saying there. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. I included this verse because I'm afraid to tell you, folks, that sometimes you're going to spend a lot of time working for an employer who does not appreciate you, who does not value you, doesn't encourage you, doesn't really give anything about you at all. You are a number on a spreadsheet somewhere, and at some point you can no longer be a number on their spreadsheet, if you know what I mean, right? But that doesn't mean that during those trials and during all that, that we don't need to persevere, that we don't need to lean on God and lean on each other. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. 6 months ago, I was at a professional low with my career. Again, I'm not going into a lot of detail about it, but I'm ashamed to say that for the first time as an adult Christian, I wasn't trusting in God nearly enough. And I know that because as I reevaluated it and I came through to the other side of it, I went back and said, what was going on there? And I kept thinking to myself, I kept saying things like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have a job anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to, how I. That's all I had to think about, all I had to say. Who am I leaving out of that equation? I'm going to tell you what, faith building comes when you're going through those challenges and those trials and those, when you're needing to persevere, and sometimes you fall flat on your face. I'm going to tell you, I fell flat on my face. I'm going to admit to this, not because I like to, because I'm just that transparent. It got to the point where I let some changes in leadership affect me where, and no joke, this is some serious stress that I was under, so I'm not making light of it. I can certainly laugh about it now. I could not then. I would work my hardest. I'd feel like I was giving my very best. There wasn't any appreciation to it. Nothing I could do was good enough. And I would come home and for those of you that know me, ask my wife. I'm not somebody that comes home, kicks up in the recliner, honey, bring me something to eat. You know what? No. When I go home, you know what I start doing? I do the things I need to take care of home. I work as hard at home, and I'm not tooting my own horn. This is just the way I am. To where my wife has to say, hey, look, you need to take a break. You're about to go to bed. Get in some downtime before you go to bed. So I was coming home, and I was making my way to the couch. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was just like, can you turn the lights off? You know, I'm in the living room, and my kids were like, what's... It was to the point where I was just failing in my role as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, because I let work I let work turn the table on me, right? Instead of me being the influence and the example, I was letting it influence me, and it was really just crushing me. I was so ready. You don't know how close I was to just quitting. Now, what was the only thing keeping me from quitting? Well, her name is Mary Ann, and Jesse, and Andy, and Suzanne, and Sarah Beth. If they weren't in the equation, I would have quit. Done. You guys can have this. Good luck to the next person. I'm going to go do something else. I don't care what that something else is, where that something else is, what it looks like, what it tastes like. I'm ready to go do it. But I let go of trusting in God, and I realized. And what I did, I empowered my employer. And here's another lesson in here. You guys are getting bonus material. I'm going to be frank with you. I didn't intend to talk about any of this stuff right here. This is just sort of the spur of the moment kind of thing. If you know me, that should not shock you. I think there's a lot of value in this. The lessons I learned in this were, you can let work consume you. You can let work become too much. You can lose yourself in it. And I'm telling you, I was not in a good place. And I've never not been in a good place in my life. I'll be quick to tell you that. I've gone through some pretty tough challenges. Nothing like this. And when you boiled it all down, it came down to a few things. It came down to me not trusting in God nearly much. I said I trusted God. I said I believed God. I said I believed in God's promises and that He wouldn't fail me and He wouldn't forsake me. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, God, I think You might be failing me, and I think You're getting ready to forsake me here when it comes to my employer. And I got all out of whack. You know, man, I had people around me that rallied to me. My wife did. My family did. I mean, there were people legitimately concerned. I'm going to my doctor. You know, I don't go. I've got to be hemorrhaging blood at a pretty good rate to go see a doctor, like most men do, right? Now, if my arm fell off, I'd go see the doctor because I can't put it back on. I might try initially. I would go see somebody if my arm fell off. Or if I'm bleeding pretty profusely, yeah, maybe I need to go see the doctor here. I finally went to my doctor, my personal physician, and I just laid it all out. Said, here's what's going on. And he was just like, wow, this is so unlike you. I was like, I don't know what's going on. You know, I mean, what do we need to, and I'm even like, do you need to prescribe me some medicine or whatever? And if you know me, that is, something is wrong. So I let it get topsy-turvy. I let work consume me. And then really what I did is I gave the person that was in charge, I gave them entirely too much control. Do you know the two things that employer controls in your life? Somebody tell me what they are. What are the two things your employer controls? It's only two. Okay, time, because from the standpoint of they say your hours are here, so that, and that fits into right the one thing. It's not just the time. What else do they control?
Your attitude if you let them.
Yeah, your attitude, but what else?
Wages.
Your pay.
Pay, they're in control of that. Yep, what else?
Whether you work for them.
Yeah, well, that's number two and the big one for me, right? And we'll get back to that one. The other thing when it comes to what they have control over is they can tell you what to do. Anybody like to be told what to do? Raise your hand if you like people telling you what to do. Of course not. We like telling people what to do, not people telling us what to do, right? They can tell you what to do. Is that right? An employer can tell you what to do. Absolutely. And as the employee, what's our responsibility? To do what they told us to do, except... Yeah. If it goes against God's will, then we have to say, I got to obey God rather than men, right? Even in that instance, when they hold all the cards, we got to go, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm not going to fraud anybody. I'm going to cheat. I'm not lying. I'm not doing any of those things. If it comes to that, it's time for me to go do something else, no matter what that's going to cost me, right? That's the one thing. They can tell you what to do. And he can. He can tell me what to do because I work for him. Philip, what was number two?
Whether you work for them or not.
That's the even bigger one, right? And that's a nice way of saying that. The way I looked at it is, oh man, I'm pretty sure this guy is going to fire me. How does that sound? How do you think it would be for me to walk home one day, show up a little early, maybe a lot early? Hey, honey, you're home early today. Yep. Got some great news. We've got a tremendous opportunity to downsize. We're going to have the biggest yard sale we've ever had in the history of our life. I mean, I can joke about it now, but that was it. Those are the two things I looked at. I gave that person that much control. You can tell me what to do. I got to do it. And ultimately, you can tell me that I no longer have a job. That's it. I mean, I was acting like the person could, like, put me up on a spit and roast me. You know, or I guess technically he could if he was big enough to do it. I don't think he is. But yeah, I gave that much power, right? And that's what work does sometimes. When we're talking about equipping ourselves for it, we got to equip ourselves to persevere and to go through challenges like that. And I'm going to tell you, I did not do a good job. And let me tell you, not only did those around me, my church family rallied, and my family, physical family rallied, you know what it really finally took? He's not here, so I can say this. What it finally took to convince me, my oldest son, Jesse. He's got a front row view. He's not at the house anymore. He's moved out. He's living close by. He's within a mile or two from the house, which means he's over in our fridge all the time. He's not over nearly as much as we'd like for him to be. I'll just admit it. He's not. He's got his own life. He's here. He's with us for the summer, which is really nice. We're glad that the kids are glad to have him there. He finally texted me. And my 19-year-old son basically said, "Dad, you've always been there for us. When things are going sideways, you're the one we come to. When we don't know what to do, you're the one that we ask. You're always there for us. But Dad, in the last few months, that's not the case anymore. Mom's picking up a lot of slack." And I mean, he just, the kid's got some heart to tell his, you know, to tell the guy that's paying for his college education this. I can tell you that much. But he, you know what he did? He told me what I needed to hear. And when it came from him, how do you think that made me feel? What do you think I did? I really wasn't mad. I wasn't. But I could see getting mad over it, because what's this whippersnapper know about anything anyway? And he even admitted in his text, "Dad, look, you got way more experience professionally than I do. I don't know what it's like to be in your situation. No clue how to relate to that. But I'm here for you if you want to talk." But ultimately, he served notice to me that you gotta shake yourself out of this funk that you're in. You know how I responded to that? I broke down and I cried like a baby. I'll start crying. If I'm not careful, I'll start crying now. Here's my 19-year-old kid who has no clue really about what it's like to have the pressures that go with providing for your family and being in a professional setting and the competition and some of the nonsense politically stuff that goes and all of that. For all of you that employ, you're all shaking your head going, "Yeah, it's real." But he reached me and said, "You got to get out of this." I mean, I came away from that convicted, and I had to pray to God, "God, forgive me. He's right. I've fallen apart here, and I've fallen apart because I haven't trusted in you. And I'm going to put my focus back on you and trust in you, and I'm just going to go to work every day. And I'm going to do my very best. And I'll do what he tells me to do, because and if it's not something I want to do anymore, then I'll go do something else. And if he tells me one day I show up and he calls me into the office and says, 'Hey, you no longer work for us,' then you know what? On the way back home, I'm going to think about what I'm going to say to my family when I get there. I'm going to say, 'God, thank you for whatever opportunity you're going to present in front of me.' Well, I don't know what's next. I don't know where it goes. There may be some downsizing involved in this, likely some downsizing. Thank you. Because this is likely a trial that I need to have, and it's going to make me better as a result of all this. Hopefully you benefit from me sharing that with you. But let me share my final thoughts here, because we're getting late on time. Work's a gift of God. James chapter 1, verse 17. Did I cover that already? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I mention this because we really haven't talked about this, and we don't have time to go into it. But a Christian can also not just be an employee, but they can be an employer. Boy, there's some serious stuff we need to consider when we're an employer and we have those that are working for us, and how we treat them, the influence we have over them, the example that we should be to them as well. So we can't miss that. How about Ecclesiastes? I tell you what, Ashley Miller was here with you recently. I was going to come up, and then I had a conflict, and so I don't know, Philip, I think you may have had the idea to invite Ashley. Ashley's a good man. He's got a good family. We're really glad to have him. I serve as a deacon. He does as well for the work there in Auburn. But Ashley taught this class on Ecclesiastes. I'm going to tell you what, if it's online on our website, go find it. It is incredible. He did such a super job of reminding us of this great experiment. If you remember Solomon, he had this great experiment, right? He set out to find out what's the meaning of life. Now, he went the long way to do it and learned a lot of valuable lessons, but he learned lessons that we can apply to ourselves today. And I like what it says here in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 22 through 25. "For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous, even at night his mind does not rest. Boy, I can relate to that when I was going through that. This, too, is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen that is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? And I just love this idea that life's not all work, but it's a big part of our life, right? And this idea, there's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink, tell himself that his labor is good. I said this earlier. You ever worked a long, hard day, and at the end of it, just been really, really content? It's probably been after you've gotten cleaned up and had a good meal, and you're sitting there and you're basking in the glow of what?
Your accomplishment,
your effort, what you were able to do. I told my wife a long time ago, she'd always want to go, the grass looks so good when you're done with it. And she just sort of kept saying, I was like, honey, you don't have to tell me that the grass looks good every time I cut it. I know it looks good, you know? And I wasn't trying to be arrogant about that. The point I tried to make with her is I'm not nearly like you when it comes to needing someone to pat me on the back, right? More times than not, I need you to kick me in the backside than to pat me on the back, let's face it. I don't need that pat on the back personally, because when I get done with that grass, I look back, what do I have? Satisfaction of a job well done. Is there anything better than that? I don't think so. That idea of working with your hands and accomplishing something and looking at it. Now, granted, Solomon's going to tell you, what is it? At the end of the day, it's what? It's vanity, right? Because guess what? No sooner than I get done cutting that grass, it'll start growing back. I'll have to cut it again and cut it again and cut it again, right? But there's satisfaction in that. I love the way Solomon puts that in his writings here about how labor is good, and we need to be reminded of that. Because sometimes we look at it and we go, I'll go all the way full circle. When I asked what is work, what was the first statement that was made? Anybody remember?
Stress.
Yeah, I remember. The word stress came out, and I'm not denying because that is what work can be. It can be stress. What does Solomon say it is? It's good. Let's never lose sight of that. It's good. Sometimes we have to make it good in spite of ourselves. I put on here employer, let's act like a godly employer. For an employee, let's act like a godly employee. Those are pretty obvious things. And I wrote, we can't compromise. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. Going the wrong way. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. Thank you for being patient with me as we go through these verses tonight. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. I said this earlier, this idea we can't compromise. And I alluded to this earlier. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And what I mean by that, and I said earlier, is we can't compromise just because it's our job. We can't compromise our beliefs, our integrity, our work ethic, all of those things. We can't compromise them because of the situation we find ourselves in. I have known people that have found themselves caught up in this. They have had to make compromises for fear of losing their job. And I have known those who gladly surrender their job rather than compromise. I'm going to tell you, that's the camp I want to be in. And when it comes to that point, when I realize, nope, can't do this. And we're increasingly finding ourselves in a society where they're forcing all this stuff on us as employees, and this, again, I'm not going to get on my soapbox because we'd be here another hour for that. You guys know what I'm talking about. There are times when we have to realize we got to obey God rather than men, even when that man is our employer, when that man holds the keys to that paycheck that keeps showing up. I told somebody a long time ago, I'm rather fond of my paycheck. I get it twice a month, like a lot of people. And I used to have this new hire orientation. They had me talk about new hires that we hired at Bright & Whitney. And I always told them, I'm real clear about my paycheck situation. As long as you keep giving me a paycheck, guess what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to keep showing up. But when that paycheck stops showing up, guess what else is going to stop showing up? And I even told them, now look, if there's a snafu and this check's going to be a couple days late, 3 days late, I'll work with you. When an employer next time says, oh, it's going to be 7 days late, 10 days late, what should we probably start thinking to ourselves? Yeah, this probably is going south, and there's going to be a day when it's not going to be 7 or 10 days late. It's going to be all the days late. It's never going to show up again. As long as that paycheck shows up, I plan on showing up. But we need to remember we can't compromise just because of that paycheck. I got one final verse for you. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this study will be complete. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're looking, this is a little bit of a lengthy verse, and we'll close with this, and then I'll open up and see if there's any final discussion. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you. And that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you're doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. I'm going to stop just a second. Does that not describe some of what we got going on right now today? Read that again. We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with them, so they will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. And I love this final statement here, and I'll leave this with you. The Lord be with you all. That's what I want to talk about, equipping ourselves for work. I covered a lot of different stuff. I went some places I had no intention of going, and I apologize for that, but hopefully there's some benefit in that. Final thoughts. Anything I didn't cover you think maybe I should have covered as it relates to us equipping ourselves for work as Christians? How do you guys feel? Have I demoralized you? Have I encouraged you? Well, what's your mental state? It's quite a bunch here, isn't it? So, I hope I've encouraged you. I hope. You going to say some sort?
You've helped me compare my job more to looking towards God. I think I'm still new at my job. There's a lot more stress than I figured it would be. And a lot more responsibilities, and that's been a lot to deal with lately. And I don't think I've compared that word to God even through it necessarily. I've separated the two. And so I think it helps to try and combine the two and look towards God when I am too stressed out at work.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Those of you that are retired, raise your hand if you're retired. I'm so jealous. There's a number of you. There's more people retired here than working, is what it looks like. That's a good thing, right? That's absolutely a good thing. You have got some tremendous examples around you of people who have navigated through all of this. Now, every one of these people that raise their hands is probably going to admit to you they didn't always get it right. Lester, you always get it right? Yeah. None of us have. None of us will. Only ever been one perfect person. We all are striving to be like him. I think we can strive harder to be like him than sometimes we do. We let ourselves off easy. But for those of you who are retired, what's your lessons from all this in equipping yourself to be a Christian while you've been working? Has it been a challenge?
We can't sit still.
Huh?
We can't sit still. My husband's started another business.
Okay.
So we retired.
That's a whole other conversation right there. Yeah. At some point, you do need it. Solomon's saying, hey, enjoy the fruits of your labor, right? But hey, labor's a good thing. It says it's good, so keep doing it. What else?
You've got to put God first no matter what.
Absolutely. That's the key, right? Put God first no matter what. Bobby?
Sometimes when you're tired, you think about going back to work, get some rest.
I've heard that before, Bobby. I have. You know? Yeah, I need to go back to... I'll be honest with you that. Sometimes I have weekends around my house where I'm like, I've got to go back to work and take a break. Absolutely. My kids are running me ragged. You know? I'm not going to say anything about my wife because it could be back to her.
Jimmy, I think about, like we say, as Christian, when we're in the workforce and around people that, like our bosses or people in the world, and we know our character and stuff, everybody's not going to accept you when you're working. So those are things that Christian that we have to always be aware of, that everybody's not going to like your work ethic, you know, and how you do a good job at work.
That's a great point, Norris. And I don't care whether it's work or anything. If we do it to God's prescribed way of doing it, there'll be those around us that aren't going to like it. Right? That's part of it. I learned a long time ago, if you as a Christian can say, man, this life is a breeze, this is a piece of cake, you know what it's likely an indication of? You're probably not enough of a Christian, unfortunately. Right? What else? Steve, you were going to try to say something in the back row back there.
Even if you retire from your worldly job, you can't retire from God's work.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't really get into that. I'm glad you said that. My focus really was about the work, our physical, secular work, because of how much time we spend doing it, how important it is. But Steve's right. I mean, you know, God calls us to be workers, not just so we can provide for ourselves, but to be workers in the kingdom, right? And I would say we have a tremendous opportunity to be workers in the kingdom while we're also working for somebody else, right? We got two bosses, the person that's paying the bills and the one that's paying the bills, if you know what I mean, right? Any other final comments? Yes, ma'am.
My husband has been on John Gordon, and when you were talking about the I have to,
yeah,
he replaces that with I get to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I think he's been on that with our family instead of saying, I have to go to church, or I have to go to school, or I have to know I get to.
That's a great exchange of words in there right there. Boy, think about it for a second. I have to versus I get to. I have to sounds like what? I have to. I get to sounds like what? I get to go to Disney World. You know, or I get to eat Miss Linda's dressing, chicken and dressing that I'm going to dig into with a huge fork in a minute. Right? Yeah, that get. If I said to her, I have to eat your dressing, that doesn't sound real good, right? Yeah, I love that, right? This idea, and I love that's a whole different mindset, right? This idea of I get to. And think about it, when you wake up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, and you're ready to go to work. I get to go to work today. God has blessed me. And I'm going to tell you, that's a struggle sometimes. I don't want to wake up. It's a long night. I didn't sleep that well. Back when I had all that stress going on, I don't know that I slept much at all. And I have always been a terrific sleeper. People were like, oh, I can't sleep. I was like, what is wrong with you? I got no problem sleeping. Not that I ever needed much of it. 6 hours, 5-6 hours is plenty for me. My wife looks at me and goes, I want to throw up that you just don't want to sleep 5 or 6 hours. She's in summertime mode. The kids are out of school. She's not teaching right now as a speech therapist. So they are killing me right now in my house, I can tell you. They are living it up, staying up, watching this, doing that. And I'm having to go to bed because they got to go to work the next day. So, yeah, I love that. I get to go to work. I get to let my light shine. I get to have the work ethic that comes from knowing who it is that I'm working for, what I'm working for, and that eternal reward that I'm looking for, absolutely. Anybody else? We could go on a long time if we wanted to with all this, but you guys have been very patient with me. I appreciate it. We mentioned an invitation. Norris is going to come up and lead us in an invitation song. What was that song again, Norris?
939,
just so I've got it at the ready. I know Philip's going to stand up here as well, and I'm looking out in this audience, and I don't know what your situation is. This may have been a very, Stuart made a sort of personal statement there about how this affected him, us discussing this. I mean, I don't know where you're at as you think about work. Maybe that's a problem for you right now. Maybe the work you're doing isn't work that you should be involved in. We didn't really cover that. That's a whole other topic. I'm sure Philip has touched on that at some point or during some teaching that certainly has come up. But there's some things we can't do as a Christian. We can't be employed at, right? But you may be struggling with work right now for whatever it is. We didn't touch on this either, but the other thing we get in trouble with when we're at our places of employment, we're away from our families, we're away from our spouses a lot, some temptations there that we need to account for, right? And we need to take steps. We need to be prepared and think ahead and purpose in our hearts to make sure we don't do the things that we shouldn't be doing when we're at our employer with other people of the opposite sexes. But I don't know what your situation is tonight. Work may be a real challenge for you. You may be going through a tough time like I was. Come talk to me afterwards if you want to. I'll share some more details. I'll tell you sort of how I got over this. And it wasn't an I. This was God saying, hey, here's a wake-up call for you. You claim to serve me. You claim that you trust me. You claim that you believe in my promises. Nothing's changed on mine is what God was saying to me. I haven't changed. The only thing that's changed in the equation is you. You're not trusting in me the way you need to trust in me. You come back and trust in me. Put your faith in me, and guess what? I've been able to go to work and deal with things. Really, there things have gotten a little bit better, but it's still not where I would like for it to be. But I got a different mindset on it now. That doesn't mean that I might call you guys up and say I need to borrow some money at some point or I need a job, because that could happen. But I'm prepared for that. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? Yeah, they can kill us. They can't take away our eternal reward, right? If you're here tonight, that's your struggle. It's work or it's something else. We didn't cover on a topic tonight. if there's something that, that you need to make right, don't you want to be a worker for the Lord? That song we sang earlier with Norris, I love it. I do. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to be in His service. I want Him to use me however He can. That's the reason I count this as a blessing and opportunity to do this. This isn't what I do for a living, but I love to do this. I love to talk about God's Word, and we've done that tonight in this. So if you've got a need and we can help you tonight, you want to confess that Jesus is Christ and recognize the need to make changes in your life, and you want to be a worker for the Lord, you can start that work tonight, and we'd have an opportunity to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. We'd love to do that. And again, if you're in our midst and you've got some struggle and we can help you in any way, you know the people around here love you, they care about you. You may look at me and go, how do I love you and how can I care about you? Because you are God's people and I love all of God's people. And so if there's something we can do in some way we could be of assistance to you, we'd invite you to come as we stand as we sit.